This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we all start in the same place when we are born. As infants, where we are helpless, we need somebody to take care of us. If the infant is uncared for, if the parents are not there, if the parents don't take care of the infant, it will die. It's simple as that. So the infant's mindset is, I need an external force to help me. All my needs are fulfilled by somebody outside of me. Mother, father, whoever. But as we grow older, the situation changes. We no longer need somebody else to satisfy our needs. We are capable of satisfying them ourselves. So as you grow, and happens quite early, I mean, even a toddler can do some things for himself. Once a child is 5-6 years old, he can do much more. Today we live in a world where, thanks to our ridiculous system of education and even more ridiculous parenting, all we do is we delay childhood. We delay maturity. Right? Just go to the villages. In our countries at least, I don't know about America, but if you go to, in India for example, if you go to the villages, see the kind of work that small kids do. Even here, if you go to the Amish people, and see how they work, see how little kids, 4 or 5 years old child, he has responsibility on the farm. He takes care of chickens or something, and when he's a little bit older, he does something else. I was in one of the Amish farms in Pennsylvania, and there was one kid, he must have been maybe about 6 years old. He was selling horseshoes. So he was sitting there with a little table and he had horseshoes on it. So they were all painted silver. So I asked him, I said, do you have one which is not painted? I don't like this silver paint. He said, give me a minute. Then he ran. And they run around barefoot, right? They don't wear shoes and stuff. So he ran barefoot into the house. He brought me one horseshoe without. So I said, how much is that? He said, $3. And obviously, it's hugely overpriced. But a little kid, he has a shop, so I gave him $3. So I said, now what happens when you, if you are not here, you know, who takes care of him? He said, I've got a partner. I said, your partner? Where's your partner? He said to me, I got a partner. I said, who's a partner? He points to me. His partner is half his size. So that this kid is maybe about 6, that kid must be about 4 at the most, right? He says, that's my brother, he's my partner. So when he goes somewhere, the partner sits there. They have a sense of responsibility. But come to the cities, you've got a 20-year-old who's a boy. 25-year-old, he's staying at home. Free food from mom. Dad pays the bills. He's got a nice fancy phone which dad bought for him. He drives a nice fancy car which dad bought for him. The gas in it, the dad pays for the whole thing. And then you ask the father, where is your son? I don't know. How is it? You don't know. You pay for him. You for every morsel of food he eats, he needs you. You don't know where he is. That's the culture. No, he went somewhere. What is it somewhere? Rasulullah specifically instructed, he said, if you leave your home and go somewhere, tell your people where you are. When you reach there, tell them that you have, you know, not tell them when you reach, because obviously those days, but he said, when you come, tell them, give them some indication. I'm going for 2 hours. I'm going for, you know, I will come back after 5-10 days or whatever. Tell them. So we delay childhood. And the result is that we have adults, 40-year-old body with 4-year-old minds. Now, how does this transfer? In psychology, in transactional analysis, we actually have a term for this. We call it the child parent-child ego state. Eric Byrne, the author of transactional analysis, psychology and counseling, he said three kinds of ego states. He says the child ego state, parent ego state, and adult ego state. So this relationship of expecting the outside world to solve my problems is called the parent-child ego state. Now, the parent-child ego state is okay when you are a child, meaning you are actually physically dependent on parents. But it's not okay when you are your age or my age, or your 20s or your teens. It's not okay. It's ugly. So what happens is that when the person grows older, they transfer the parent. Parent is who? Parent is anyone with authority. So when you are a little baby, the parent is actually the parent. It's the mother or the father or maybe a foster parent. But once they grow older, this parental authority is transferred to anyone outside. So it is the boss in the office. It is the government. In the masjid, it is the masjid board or the imam. And so on. Now, problem with that is, anything happens, it is their fault. It's never my fault. The best way to find out if a person is matured or not is listen to their conversation. Ask them a question. See who they blame when they speak. You say, how are you? Oh, you know what to do. Like people here. Huh? This is kafir country. It's full of kuffar. Astaghfirullah. Who told you to come here? Were you brought here in chains? You stood for the whole night in front of the U.S. consulate or the U.S. embassy in your country. You slept on the footpath to get a visa. You got a visa, you come here, you live on welfare, you can work, you're bodily good, you won't work, you live on welfare. Your body is perfect, but you find a handicap tag from somewhere and hang it on your car and you pack it in the handicap slot. Tell me if I'm lying. Tell me if I'm telling lies. And then with this welfare money, when you go back to your country, you walk like a king. Oh, I have a US passport. As if it's a passport to Jannah or something. Am I telling lies? Is this lies or true? And then you come back here. Kuffar country. Inna lillahi wa inna lillahi. There is not even gratitude in your. You come to this country, you have equal status with anybody in this country. Every university is open to you. Every school is open to you. They give you free education. In the university, you are allowed to practice your religion freely. Everywhere you can practice your religion freely. You can pray on the pavement. You can pray in a parking lot. You can pray in McDonald's. You can do, you practice your religion. You can dress like you and me and nobody bothers you. Right? You can have beards. Nobody tells you anything about your beard. Okay, there will be the odd, you know, redneck somewhere or somebody will say you are a... But generally speaking, you are welcomed. Everything is open. Remember, a day will come when you and these people and people like this will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne. And the same people of this country, they will say to Allah... They will say, Ya Allah, you are going to throw me into the fire. Okay, I am your slave. You want to throw me, throw me. But tell me, this man, he came to my land, I gave him everything. You come here, you want to marry a local American girl, does anybody stop you? We opened our homes to them. We gave our daughters to them. We gave them jobs. We opened our universities and colleges. Everything you want to stand for election to be the president of America, the only thing that will prevent you is if you don't get elected. That is all. Nothing else. There is no law to say that you cannot stand for election to the White House because you have a beard, because you are a Muslim. Nothing. You are free. You can do it. If you don't get votes, that's a different issue. But nobody on the face of the, in this country, nobody in this country will stop you because that is your right as a US citizen. So these people will say, we gave them everything. But they never introduce you to us. Huh? They didn't tell us that you are our Rabb. that one day we will stand before you. They never told us. They took and they took and they took. What's the answer? We keep blaming the outside world. What can we do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah says, I have given you so many ni'mat, I have given you so many blessings, you cannot even count them. Then what right do you have to say, we are so bad, we are so weak? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِلَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah says, I have given you so much, you can't even count. And you feel you have nothing. You feel you are deprived. So Allah's kalam is wrong. Really? My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, He gave us our destiny in our hands. Allah says, write what you want. You want to be happy? Right. You want to have power? Right. You want to be miserable? Right. No problem. Whatever you write, Allah will give you. Our hands. You want it, you have to work for it. There is only one thing which comes just by waiting. Nothing you have to do. It will come without any effort. Just by waiting. You know what that is? What? Death. Death. To die, you need not do anything. Just wait. One day you will die. Everything else needs effort. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى قَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is nothing for a human being except what he works for. That applies to the akhirah, applies here also. It's a beautiful ayah, because what does it mean? It means that anything you work for, Allah will give you. Fantastic. Hugely empowering, right? Whatever you work for, Allah will give you. We are seeing this even with those who do not believe in Allah, who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is giving them. Why? Because they are working for it. It's not magic. It doesn't come to them from the heavens. They work for it. They work day and night for it. You know this, I know this. Same rule applies to us also. You want something, you got to work for it. And that will come when we own authority for ourselves, when we become adults, we need to grow up. This child-parent mindset will not get us anywhere. That's long gone. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand our responsibility and to take charge of our lives. And not only to worry about ourselves, but to worry about others. Straighten ourselves and help others to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So that we are not faced with this terrible situation when on the day of judgment we stand before Allah. And then you won't know which way to look. But the man will say, we gave them everything, they didn't introduce. Now you are going to put me into Jahannam. What about him? What do we say? Tomorrow I'll tell you a true story about this, inshallah. Today khatra enough, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.